Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Stay tuned for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. Good to see everyone this morning. I've had a number of thoughts this week, and I'm just, as usual, trusting the Lord to pull them together and make sense of what He wants. I appreciate the service we listened to last week, where Brother Cimbala talked about all of the service stations that God has provided for us in this journey, and we know life is a journey. In fact, everything about this world is a journey. And the thought that I had centered around a simple word, and that is destiny. You know, one thing I noticed, and I think many have noticed as you read through the New Testament particularly, a lot of it is just basic teaching. Because if we don't know basic truth, then, you know, we're kind of hit and miss a little bit. And God wants us to have a basic understanding to where even our kids know the truth about basic things. And the thoughts that I have had this morning are extremely basic. They'll touch on things we talked about many times. And yet I want to try, by God's grace, to bring them down to a simplicity where we can get a framework, a sense of what's going on and where we're headed. What really is everyone's destiny, and what's the destiny of the world, and so forth. And on one level, I think I will say many things that you will find, oh yeah, I know that, I've heard that all my life, kind of stuff. But I have a feeling I'm going to be saying some things that some will find unusual and different. And you'll wonder, is this really so or not? So I'm just going to put it out there by faith. And I will say this. When you hear something that is different from what you've heard before, there's two reactions that you could have would be these, and both of them would be wrong. One of them is, if Phil said it, it must be right. Well, let's just take a step back there. But the other one is, that's not what I was taught, so it must be wrong. And so what I would say, and what I believe the Lord would say, is when we hear that which is new and different to us, we need to just take a step back and say, Lord, I don't know, but I want to know, and I'm trusting you to show me, to quicken your word, and to give me a peaceful witness in your spirit so that I can have a conviction of my own. Because we don't want hand-me-down religion. We want a people who have been taught by the Lord. Isn't that what the Lord promised? In the New Covenant, He says they will all be taught by the Lord. And the Lord does use vessels. But we need to do what Paul said, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So the first thing about destiny that came to my mind was, what is the destiny of this world? And I think, you know, we know in a general sense, but, you know, obviously the mankind has all kinds of ideas. People are out there trying to, quote, save the planet. You've got some that subscribe to a view of the evolution, the upward evolving of mankind, and one day we're going to go and conquer the stars. We're going to be, you know, like Star Trek. That was kind of the theme of the whole series. Because man's just going to keep advancing, and then he's going to find a way to travel around the universe. And all of these ideas, and of course people think, you know, this world is all there is, and I've got to get everything I can out of it. But folks, if we're going to live our lives with a knowledge and with a sense of what is true and what is not, we're going to have a clear conviction about the future of the world. And I think a good place to start would be with the words of Jesus, who talked about the time of His coming and many things. But one thing He said was this. Very simple words. Even a child can understand this. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So I don't care what you see. Look out the window, go to a beautiful scenery, look at a massive city of all that mankind has been able supposedly to achieve. and just take a look at that and realize that that's all going to pass away. There's going to come a time when it will not be there. And I don't care what any man on this planet or woman achieves in this world, what they build, what they gather, this world will not be here when God is through with his plan. It's very simple. You know, John warns us, don't love the world, because he describes the things, the appetites that drive the world. He says the world passes away, and the lusts or the appetites, the desires thereof pass away. But he that does the will of God abides forever. You know, the destiny of the world is something. And you don't want to use the word destiny. We think of something that's been determined in a sense, don't we? It's not just a destination, but there is something that is bringing that destination about. Do you suppose that God is in control of what's going on planet Earth, even though he allows the devil a certain amount of freedom to do his thing? There's a God who reigns. He has given all things into the hand of his Son, and his Son has been charged with building him a kingdom, subduing every enemy under his feet, then handing that kingdom over to the Father. I'll tell you, there's something going on that is eternal. How many times did the Lord reveal through his prophets and to various people in the Old Testament days, especially? You think of Nebuchadnezzar and all the Lord revealed to him, brought him down to a place of such humility that all he could say was, he reigns, he does what he pleases. Among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, no one can stay his hand or tell him what to do. He's in charge. And, you know, we've used a lot of these scriptures before, but I want to just try to make it simple and plain. One of the passages and the areas of scripture that some of us are reading this time of year or have just read is the book of Daniel. And there's a passage in Daniel 10, I'm not going to turn there particularly, but we referred to this before, there was a message I preached on it, where Daniel is seeking the Lord, and it's evident he wants to understand, Lord, what's going on, what's going to happen, and God sends him a heavenly messenger, doesn't he? Okay, so there's this amazing being who shows up, and he says, Daniel, you know, you've been praying for 3 weeks now. I want you to understand, from the first day you began praying, the command was given to answer. But I've been kind of tied up. There's been an evil demon prince that rules over the kingdom of Persia, and I've been at war with him. But now, you know, we've taken care of that, now I finally come. But what he came with was a book, wasn't it? You remember that? What was it called? The Book of Truth. Well, what was the Book of Truth about? The Book of Truth contained a record of events, earthly events, kingdoms who would rise and fall and on through generation after generation. But the thing about that book was it wasn't a book of history as we think of it. You know, when you think about kingdoms rising and falling, all we can do is look back to the past, can't we? We don't know. We have to sort of, I don't know what's really going to happen. But here's a God who says, I have already written history before it happens. Do you realize that's the world we live in? God has written history even though it has not happened. That's how amazing God is. And, you know, when you come to answering the question, what is the destiny of this world, it's going to end. It's going to pass away. And, of course, the simple question is, okay, when? Well, what does Jesus answer to that one? No one knows except one. That's the Father. Only the Father, the Most High God, knows when this world is going to end. In other words, we've talked about this before. He's got a calendar. He's got a schedule. And every event that's going to happen up to that point, he has already written it out, planned out. He knows what's going to happen. Nothing takes him by surprise. There are no emergency meetings in heaven because of stuff that happens down here. He's already foreseen every bit of it. And I don't care what the devil does. I don't care what the United Nations do. I don't care what George Soros and some of these fellows do, and Bill Gates and you name it. There's not a thing they or the devil himself and all of his kingdom can do to stop it. You wonder why stuff is so crazy in the world. The devil is mad. He's upset. He knows what's coming. And so the other question I guess you could ask is, well, how is this going to happen? Are we going to get some kind of forewarning here? What does the scripture say about that? He's come like a thief in the night is one scripture right there in Matthew 24. The world's going to pass away. Only my Father knows when, but it's going to happen like a thief in the night. And you see where Paul uses the same kind of language in 1 Thessalonians 5. We've used that scripture many times. The thing is going to come like a thief in the night. Sudden destruction will happen, will come to them, and they will not escape. You want to know what, if you want to live for this world? This world, the destiny of this world, it's a temporary world, and God has a plan. It is unfolding. He has written that history, and that day will come like a thief in the night. There's nothing anybody can do to stop it. And when he is done, it will be gone. And so you could also ask the question, how? Well, you remember how Jesus talked about the historical examples. I'll use them again in a minute. That's something I refer to often. But what does Peter say about that? What are we looking for? You know, in Noah's day, it was a flood. It was water that covered the earth and killed every air-breathing creature, including man, that wasn't in the ark. They all died. But what's going to be the answer that God brings when that day comes? It's going to be fire, isn't it? The world, the earth, and all that's therein is going to be burned up. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. You want to know what God's plan is for this? He is using it to fulfill an eternal purpose. He has a purpose that makes this world is a part of. And we're living here temporarily. But I'll tell you, there's going to come a day, and it will come like a complete shock to the people of this world. They will have no warning whatsoever. And suddenly, the Lord will come, and this world will be, and God will get his people out of here, and this world will be on fire. The heavens will be on fire. It's going to end. I know that's not what you hear in many places. They have the world going on for, you know, at least 1,000 years and all of that. But I'll tell you, if you look at Scripture, and again, I use this constantly. I know I refer back to it. But Jesus gave two examples of his coming, did he not? He compared his coming to things that had happened in the past. Noah and the flood, and Lot leaving Sodom. In both cases, there was a handful of people at that point that were capable of hearing what God said and doing it and listening and obeying that. The rest of the population involved had reached a point where they had ceased not only to listen, but to cease to have the ability to listen. Strong delusion. So many scriptures that point to the condition that humanity will reach by that point. And so what happened, again, I'll ask the question I've asked many times, what happened to those who were left behind after God's people were removed and rescued? Every single one died. Every single one perished. Folks, that's what Jesus said is coming, and it will come like a thief in the night, totally unexpected, and everyone who is not ready for that day will die. That's the destiny of this world. Doesn't make much sense to live for this world, does it? Because everything is going to pass away. God's word will not pass away. So it's very simple. This world will pass away. It will pass away suddenly by fire. Okay, so God has plans way beyond this. All right, so what is the destiny of those And this is where we'll get into some areas that some of you are familiar with, and some of you probably say, whoa. What is the destiny of those who do not know God, those who find themselves in this place where they have shut their ears and they don't hear anymore, they don't hear God's voice, they have no capacity to hear it, and they're among those who reach that point. But what is their ultimate destiny? Okay? Yeah. Well, let's get to it. Let's see if the Lord can help me to reorganize thoughts that I've had. What is the destiny? One of the scriptures I had was in John chapter 12. It's a very simple. I'm in chapter 12. Praise God. And this is verse 25. Anyone who loves their life. Okay, what's he talking about, loving their life? This is their life here, right? We've been all given a kind of life. We inherited it from Adam. We were born here. But anyone who loves their life, this is what my life is about. It's about what I can accomplish and gather for myself here. Where John says, don't love your life. Here's what Jesus said happens. Anyone who loves their life will lose it. Well, anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. You remember what God warned Adam and Eve even before they sinned? He said, on the day you partake of this particular tree, the knowledge of good and evil, now, I know the King James, I think, says you will surely die. If you look, and it certainly is that in that sense. But actually, the original says dying you will die. So it's not, in other words, you don't eat it and drop dead. But there is a principle that enters your being and begins the process that will ultimately wind up in death. Well, of course, we know that the body dies. I don't care what the scientists try to accomplish, they're never going to eliminate the fact that we get old and we die. These bodies just are temporary. You're living in a body that's very temporary, in a world that's very temporary. It makes sense to understand these things because, you know, to live without this knowledge is folly. So anyway, dying you will die. So you say, well, I know my body's going to die, but my soul's going to live forever. Is it? That's a very good question, isn't it? Notice I just drop one little thought in here. And in Ezekiel chapter 18, God is dealing with a question that had arisen in the minds of some of the people. And the question was this: do children die for the sins of their parents? In other words, if your parents commit some terrible sin, are you punished because they sin? Of course, the answer is no. And the famous scripture is, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So in other words, people die for their own sin. I'm responsible for me. I can't, you know, I may affect them in some sense, but I can't determine somebody else's destiny by me. I'm responsible for my destiny. So anyway, but baked into that is this: the soul that sinneth, not the body. The nephesh is the word. The very life force that we have shall die. You know, years ago, it's almost 50 years ago, where in the world did time go? I remember Brother Thomas coming to a service. We were living in Lake City at the time. And he came to a service one morning and shared something that he felt like the Lord had quickened to him. And he'd been thinking about it and praying about it for a while. And he threw it out there, very much what I described. I don't want you to believe it because I do, but I don't want you just to throw it out either. I want you to prayerfully consider what I'm saying. And what he shared was a very simple thing, that the destiny of the lost is not an eternal torture chamber. That's what everybody thinks. We've all heard that. Oh, it's either heaven or hell. And before we get done, I'll point out it's neither. Okay? But this concept that, oh, we're going to be in a never-ending torture chamber, And that's the destiny of people because, oh, we live forever. Boy, there's so many things wrong with that, and I've dealt with it in a whole service. I'm not going to try to get into that kind of detail. But what did the Lord say? Or this was the question. This was what settled it for me. Several weeks later, I put it on the shelf and said, "Lord, I don't know. You're going to have to show me." Well, He did. Several weeks later, the thought was set before me. Why were Adam and Eve driven from the garden? Why were they driven from the garden? So they would not partake of the tree of life and what? And live forever. Oh, wait, what? I've heard preachers many times over the years say, "You're going to live forever somewhere." That's not what God said. He literally put them to a place where they could not partake of that and live forever. That's a whole different animal there. Now, wait a minute. Let's stop and think about this. What did Jesus say? "He that loves his life will be cast into an eternal torture chamber." Will lose it. There comes a terminal point for the life that we have. You know, it was an ancient heathen doctrine. Interesting. It was a heathen doctrine that man is by nature immortal. It's impossible for him to cease to exist. He is immortal. He has immortal life in it. Is that true? See, as soon as I thought about that scripture, the Lord immediately dropped in my mind a scripture where Paul was talking to Timothy, and he said, "God, who alone is immortal." There's only one kind of life that is incapable of dying, and that's God's life. That's the key. God cannot die. His life cannot be exterminated. Everything else is created life. He breathed a kind of life. You know, how many of you know that the word nephesh, the word for soul in the Old Testament, is actually used of animals? One place is fish. You go fishing for souls. And you clean them and eat them, I guess. But seriously, there is so much here that the devil has introduced this other idea. But I want you to know that if you're part of this world, and this is your destiny if you don't know the Lord. If you're here or if anybody hears this is your destiny. There is going to come a time when you will be cast into fire. There is fire. That's very plain. There is a lake of fire. The question is, what's the purpose of it? But the Lord said, He's the only one that's immortal. And then immediately another scripture came to me. Where does immortality come from? God has revealed immortality through the gospel. There's a pathway to life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not be cast into an eternal torture. Wait a minute. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can go on and on unlocking this subject. You see where the enemy has confused a whole lot of things. He's accused God of something terrible. But yet there is an end. There is a destiny. God is not going to tolerate evil forever. There is an evil life force that is infecting the human race. And if He doesn't do away with that, that evil will just go on.
This has been the Midnight Cry broadcast. If you would like a DVD or CD of today's message in its entirety, please request it by program number. While it is not required, a donation of $10 for DVDs and $5 for CDs is suggested to help with expenses. Also, for those who request it, we will send you our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, free and postage paid. Send your requests to Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina, 1-800-283-8888. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time. And may God richly bless you until then.